This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:07. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Hezril, and Cam. And our next story is probably the one that's got everyone's tongue wagging today. So this afternoon, PKR President Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim said that he has the numbers to form a new government. So far, though, he's not stated the number of MPs that are backing him, but he said that they're mostly Malay and Muslim MPs.
Yep, so he said he'll reveal more details and his next steps once he's had an audience with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. Dato' Sri Anwar was supposed to have an audience with the king yesterday, but it was postponed as His Majesty was admitted to the National Heart Institute for treatment.
And while we wait, some details we know so far from that earlier press conference is that there will be a new coalition with new partners, and that Anwar is willing to work with the current Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, should he want to join his cause.
That's right.
And, well, Tan Sri Muhyiddin, on his part, has said that I am still the legitimate Prime Minister. But support has poured in for this announcement. DAP and Amanah have said that their MPs are fully backing Anwar. BN and UMNO President Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi said that many MPs from his coalition and party have also voiced support for Anwar. Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad and his party, though, have yet to show any support.
This is... I don't know. I mean, when in times of political trouble, I turn to the radio, I turn to BFM to find out information and insight into what's happening. And unfortunately, listeners, you have me saying, I don't know what's happening. I've spoken to everybody I know who have a finger on the pulse. And everybody's been taken by surprise and scratching their heads. We're going to be speaking to somebody in a moment who I think will have good insight. But it's... it's been a real shock. I mean, he will need at least about 20 members of parliament from Barisan Nasional to go over. That's a lot of MPs.
And he did say that his majority is not, you know, by 5 or by 10. He said it's more. So it looks like he's got, you know, according to him, that he's got considerable support from the government.
You know, Pam, that question at the very top, why does this keep happening? That's just been echoing in my brain the whole time as Anwar was making and was saying stuff at his press conference. Honestly, it's a little bit exhausting. And what I think was at least interesting to me was that on the letterhead where his press statement for this was published, it wasn't put under any sort of letterhead from PKR or anything else linked to his political party, but rather it was published under his personal letterhead, which reads AI. So
yes,
I think that might just be a hint that really when he says a new coalition, it's going to be a new one, that's going to be a mix and match of everyone and anything.
Well, you know, a PKR MP, YB Fahmy Fadzil, he remarked on that on Twitter and said that it was... he said it was standard practice for Anwar Ibrahim to issue statements on his own letterhead.
Interesting.
So I don't know.
But you were around Cam, weren't you? When, well, I mean, around as in, do you remember that moment when Dato' Sri Anwar actually called a conference in 2008 where he claimed the numbers? I mean, Kel and I were a bit too young for that. But do you remember that?
Yeah, well, yeah, I do. And it's so if I feel like I've been down this road to Kajang before. And it's one of the questions that everybody's asking. I want to ask you two back, though, because the median age of this country is 30, which is kind of pretty much where the two of you are.
Almost are.
Yeah.
Okay. Do either of you two remember 1997 and Reformasi when Dato' Sri, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, just shattered the system, really. Do either of you two...
I wasn't even in school yet.
Yeah.
No, I never experienced it. It's only through my own readings a few years ago as I got more interested in politics and so on, even before I started this job, to be fair. But no live experience with it, Cam. I think by the time I I wasn't even in daycare yet, to be honest.
Yeah, so I mean, this man has been shaking the system for a very long time, way back before then, back in the, into the 1980s. And this situation, you mentioned just now the Kajang move, which came to nothing. This situation would be either the making or the breaking of Anwar Ibrahim. If this actually comes to pass, then we go into a whole new phase in the country's history. If it does not happen, then I think surely this would be the end of him.
So let us know your thoughts. What do you think of this latest announcement from Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, for her thoughts and really to just get this one central question answered, what in the world is going on. So stay tuned for that conversation. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's 6:15. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Israel, and Cam. And we are talking essentially about how the Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim said that he has the numbers. And we also do have the numbers. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're now going to cross over to Bridget Welsh, Dr. Bridget Welsh, rather, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, welcome. Good evening.
So first off, what's your take on this announcement? Did it come as a surprise to you?
No, it didn't come as a surprise. So these have been ongoing negotiations at the elite level that have been going on since February. And I think that there are clearly different alliances that are emerging as a result. Particularly, UMNO would like to move the Mujahideen government towards elections and to have a dissolution. And so I think we're seeing different flows of coalition politics taking place. And of course, the Sabah election has served to bring a lot of these things to the fore, these tensions. And of course, unfortunately, this type of elite drama has become the norm in the context of Malaysia this year, with, of course, impacts on political instability, on the economy, and management of COVID-19.
Right. Now, a lot of people are questioning the way he made his announcement, Bridget. For us, at least, we're wondering why he didn't submit a memorandum to the Yang Diputuan Agong first, right? Have an audience with him, get it confirmed before making the announcement.
Well, I think there's, really a lot of issues here. You've raised one, the process of submission. And, of course, the Anwar Ibrahim did say today that he had had let the king know, and the king is now in hospital. So, in the sense, it's a question of access. But then these other questions arise. Why push so quickly, at this point of time? The timing issue is essential. I think there are two other things that are important in this discussion of the announcement. One is the specifics of the numbers. These terms like solid majority is not necessarily clear in terms of the specifics, and I think that this creates a lot of speculation and doesn't instill confidence. You also have the issue of the fact that numbers may have been solid today, but they may not be solid tomorrow. And we learned this in February, that there is fluidity in the nature of alliances, and I think we can continue to see intensive negotiations, despite SDs being signed yesterday, they may not be the same SDs projected for tomorrow.
Okay, well, if we just try to pursue the concept of a solid majority for a moment, how many MPs would he need to have to defect to him to create a majority? And where do you think those numbers would come from, seeing as perhaps PAS and the Azmin Ali group would be clearly not in that number?
So today it was leaked in Sinchu Press that the number that he had was 123. Now, whether or not that was a confirmed or whether or not that is a leak is not necessarily known. But in terms of a solid majority, you're looking at something over 130 MPs. So you're looking at least 20 people who have moved, more like 22. And then, of course, if you add into the factor that it's not clear that the strong Mahathir's group is actually with Anwar. You may need to have more than that because they may actually move in a different direction. So we're looking at, you know, anywhere at a comfortable, solid majorities over 130, so at least 20 MPs that have moved. Now, the question becomes is how others have moved back and where do they come from? And I think that what we've seen in the course of the day and, of course, where the projections are coming from, who has the numbers, is that they are coming from most likely from within UMNO. And I understand it's not just within UMNO in the peninsula, but it's also some other representatives from Sarawak and Sabah are making up these numbers.
And on the note about UMNO, what would they have to gain from aligning themselves with Anwar?
Well, this is it's very simple. There are two different dimensions here. Right? One is a new government is formed, and so these individuals who may have felt that they were not going to get the best representation or access to power in the context of a PN Muhyiddin Yassin government may felt a sense of disgruntlement and wanting to move to Anwar and to be able to have positions of power and others, same motivations that we saw in the past. The other factor, and I think this is the more important one, is that it is clear, and it has been very clear for months now, that UMNO wants in a national election. And in doing this this particular maneuver, aligning themselves with Anwar, the projection is that this will put pressure on the government, and the likely solution will not be a formation of a new government and new SDs being read and palace visits and so forth, but the projection of a dissolution. Now, of course, Muhyiddin Yassin, with the power of prime minister, has the power to offset this in the sense that he is ultimately the person who has to speak to the king about the dissolution. So I think we've already entered into what I would say a waiting game where the king is no longer seen as accessible. And I think Muhyiddin Yassin has made very clear signals today in his speeches and others. I'm focusing on governing, and he's focusing on trying to win support through COVID-19 aid in the Sabah elections.
Now, so Dato' Sri Anwar specifically mentioned that many of his MPs and that this new government that he claims to be forming is a majority of them, you know, it's first and foremost a Malay Muslim, a Bumiputra government. What do you make of this sort of messaging that's coming from him?
Well, it's pretty clear that, you know, we've seen in the last year, particularly in the last 6 months, the issues of representation, that the leadership should be seen or seen legitimized through an ethnicized framing. And this is how PN has legitimized itself, is that it's saying it's representing the majority of the Malay Muslim community. And this is where the comprising of the numbers and also allying himself and with the king was also part and parcel of a kind of ethnicized sense of political legitimacy, because the legitimacy is not from elections. The legitimacy comes from the sense of a particular ethnicized political narrative. Now we see a situation where Anwar Ibrahim used two things to legitimize the discussion today. One is he says we were elected. Well, and again, this is, of course, depends on who the individuals were in this context, so that needs to be dissected further. And the second is the issue of issues of ethnicity. And I think that, you know, what we're seeing is that he's projecting the sense that the numbers are a majority of Malay Muslim MPs. Therefore, it fits within the paradigm of the legitimation that the PN government was trying to project.
This is a bit of a clash of the titans here. How do you think Tun Mahathir and also Muhyiddin fit into this picture?
Yeah, my analogy today was, you know, the power-hungry games as opposed to the titans. We can have a different sense of what those are. But I would say that I think that Mahathir has numbers of a small group of people, but he is clearly not in the running in terms of a major player in terms of both in terms of setting the numbers and determining the direction of how the government moves. If in fact there either the claims that Anwar Ibrahim are making are credible, which of course many people are questioning because their specifics have not been laid out. The reality is that the smaller numbers will not have as much influence. Muhyiddin Yassin, however, is still a very important player in this process because he is prime minister. He has levers of power, and he is the one who he's not fallen. He is in that office at this point of time, and I think that as a consequence, until there's a vote in parliament or until there's a shift by the king and there's a dissolution or a shift in terms of the transfer of power, Muhyiddin Yassin has control to determine the trajectory. In the immediate future.
So the youth vote has come under a lot of focus in recent times as well, especially since the founding of Syed Saddiq's Muda Malaysia Party. What is Anwar's stature like among the youth?
Well, I think Pakatan Harapan did very well among younger voters in the 2018 elections. But I think that since that period of time, since the Pakatan Harapan government, and since the political instability that we've seen since February of this year, there is a lot of sense among voters, that the, especially younger voters, that they want to focus on practical issues, such as the issues of the economy, jobs, livelihoods, and there also a sort of there's a sense of frustration with older leaders that are seen to be focusing on elite politicking among themselves and are not necessarily capitalizing and galvanizing many of the sentiments of younger voters. But that said, the youth is still like the rest of Malaysia. It's a highly political polarized electorate. So many of the people see these particular events through those polarizing lenses. Those who support the Reformasi movement are supporting Anwar and not thinking about the process and the problematic processes of democratic procedure that are involved because of those particular sets of loyalties. Well, those who actually support traditionally Barisan Nasional and UMNO and also parts of different parts of the political process and other parties see these things extremely differently. I think that what's going to be interesting is that we're going to see the other alliance partners, both within PN and within the context of Pakatan Harapan, being put in very interesting political situation as things move forward. It's interesting to look at how DAP's statement was worded compared, for example, to that of Amana. And it's from the perspective of younger voters like Muda and the movement, they will also be, in a sense, looking at this and assessing how they should position themselves. And I think my sense is that they're going to be like what most Malaysians are. They're looking at the drama show.
And as a final note, final question, Bridget, we have got about a minute left. When Langkah Sheraton happened, Pakatan MPs and supporters criticized Tan Sri Muhyiddin for creating a backdoor government. And now it seems Anwar is attempting to do the same, at least due to many Malaysians. What are your thoughts on this?
Look, a lot of Malaysians are tired of this. The COVID-19 is a serious problem, both health and equally so in terms of the economy. The questions of political stability, there's a lot of fatigue. I think that the questions of principles and processes and following a sense of legitimation that is actually tied to what voters think about are, as opposed to defections, are really, resonating among large sections of the population. So I think that at this particular point of time, there is not as much support for this type of politicking and these types of processes than the leaders think there is.
Bridget, with that, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Most welcome. Have a good evening.
You too. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. We have the 6:30 news coming up. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.